Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California. This is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today you are tuning in to Spell It Out, Magic Reflections and Shadows, where I take a topic and run with it. So this is going to be my first Spell It Out for 2024. It's our first show of 2024. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody, and Happy New Year to everyone. As you can see, we've got a whole new format, and we're going to be doing things a lot differently this year. And we've kind of left Sunset Lodge. I've come to the point after 20 years that we are retired from Masonry. So I've moved home, and we've moved our show home. So I'm sure there'll be a few bugs with green screens and everything, so bear with us, but we will make this happen. We've got some great guests coming up. Next week, we have Jamie Paul Lamb, who is a member of the Golden Dawn, and we'll be talking about the history of that incredible organization that was so important in occultism. And then we have our prophecy show for the year coming up with all our astrology friends and numerology friends and so forth. So all kinds of great stuff. So get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-A-X-T-H, all spelled out. While you're there, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi if you can afford to. And if best thing you can do is go to YouTube, click like and subscribe, and that really means a lot to us. It really does help our show to grow. And so I don't want to take up too much time because I know Krista has a lot of information to cover today. So with that, I'm going to kick it back to you. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. We have one more really important announcement. Today is Michael's birthday. And he was actually born on a Wednesday, too. This was not planned. And so we feel like this is a very auspicious day to launch our new show. And I'd also like to thank Arcana 73 for listening in right now. So I thought I would continue on my exploration of Tara as a daily practice. And I think it was May or August of 2020, I did a Spell It Out on working with green Tara, my journey with Tara, some basic information about using mantras to help you with any kind of problem. So I would suggest if you haven't listened to that, to go back and listen to that or watch it, because there's a lot of really good information in it about sort of overall mantra practice and some of the things I've learned. So I have worked, the one I'm going to talk about today is a golden Tara. Her name is Tara Sonam Tobshe. And today's topic is called building wealth through the practice of this mantra. And in this case, I personally am working on building literal wealth, but wealth can be also other kinds of wealth, particularly spiritual wealth, which of course can come in handy too. But I did want to make express how I think it's perfectly fine to use mantras to help us overcome our earthly problems. It's something I came to a little later in life, and I attribute it reading one of the books on mantras by, I think it's Thomas Ashley Farrand. He talks about using mantras. Anyone can use them for our problems. And I started doing that, and it's been really, really helpful. And so I initially was working with Tara Sonam Tobshe, and she's got, a couple other names, but so don't let that confuse you. Even if you just call her the Golden Tara, that's fine. And I wanted to start with talking about what happened when I initially worked with her during the pandemic. I started a 40-day practice, which is one of the traditional ways to use a mantra, where you use it for 40 days, doing a round in the morning and a round in the evening on your mala at least. And it really helped, literally, because I was so terrified of losing all of our income practically. And then I actually continued and decided to do 100,000 of them count. And I forget how long it took, but it kept it going. And we actually did pretty well during the pandemic. And so I have decided, since we're going through a transition again, to go back to her. And I really liked her as well. It's in the Tara, 21 Tara practice, which is what this is taken from, there are four different kinds of Taras. There's the pacifying, increasing, magnetizing, and subduing Taras. And they all work, and they're all sort of maybe a little more focused on something particular. And so they each get a little more intense with the colors, but it doesn't make them sort of dark or evil or anything like that. And so the golden one is sort of a step up from, or yellow or orange is a step up from the white pacifying Taras overall. And so I'll talk a little bit about sort of generally a little bit about Tara too, and a little bit about mantra, which I didn't talk in the last show about how to actually sound out a mantra based on a Tibetan teacher. So one of the things I did want to mention is that Tara, when you go to pick a Tara practice, she's a really old goddess, thousands and thousands of years old, and goes back to India. It goes back, I think, to where was it? I was reading in Tara the Supreme Goddess that she is, this is by Professor Pushpendra Kumar and Dr. R.K. Sharma. And they say that she is connected to the goddess Durga and may have risen from her, as the name Durga means the deity who removes grave dangers. And anyone who knows Tara, is she's connected with the eight fears and rescuing people. And they continue to say the concept of the Hindu mother goddess, the quintessence of the eternal female principle, has been proved to be of considerable antiquity. It was tracing back to at least 7th to 6th century BC. And there is no, however, archaeological image of the Buddhist Tara earlier than the 6th century AD. So one of the reasons they believe that this particular Tara comes from Western India, because there are carved images of her in the Buddhist caves in Western India. And this was due to the maritime trade on the coast. So she literally was called upon to protect people crossing the ocean. And so, you know, we think of her metaphorically as crossing the ocean samsara, but literally they would call on her. So she's a wonderful deity for anybody to work with, a wonderful energy, and very responsive to people in general. And the other thing, I was just going through some of my resources that I like to use when I pick a Tara for practice. And there's a book called Tara's Enlightened Activity by Kenshin Paldin Sherub and Kenpo Sewang Dongjol. And I wanted to quote some of the things that they write about mantra, because I thought it was really cool. So mantra, as many people know, it's a sacred sound. And in this book, they write, it didn't originate with some ordinary person or thing, but it is the self-voice or original sound of the natural state. Furthermore, the mantra is not just something we are putting out. It's also something we are taking in to help ourselves self-actualize. When we first begin to say mantra, we should simply try to be aware that the mantra is more than just our own voice making a series of noises. Realize that the mantra is alive, a manifestation of our inner Vajra nature. And in his book on healing mantras, Thomas Ashley Ferrand also talks about the idea of doing mantra. You're pulling this energy into yourself, and it's particularly useful during difficult times like I believe we are in right now. And then there was one other thing when it comes to saying mantras. The teachers all have very specific teachings depending on the lineage you go to. And so sometimes it is important just to have one teacher initially so you don't get confused. But I think that the way these guys say, talk about mantra and the speed, I have heard it this way a lot with the teachers I've been around doing mantra practice. And so they talk about how you should sound it. There are many instructions on saying the mantra, but we think that the mantra should be chanted like the sound of bees nesting. And if you've ever heard a bunch of monks or nuns doing mantras, it does kind of sound like that. I really like that, the sound of bees nesting, just loudly enough so we can be sure we're pronouncing each syllable. Chant mantra continuously without a definite beginning and end to each repetition. Chant with a speed that is as quick as possible while allowing you to keep each syllable clearly in mind. Each syllable is equally important. Meditate that the inner sound of true nature is energizing with the voice. is merging with the voice. Can't read my own writing. So that's just a little bit about just mantra in general. So when you go to work with any daily practice of the Tara, I have a particular thing I like to do, and I wanted to say I have done just mantras, and they have worked, where I've just said the mantra. I have done no visualization. I've done no prayers. And now I tend to have a little bit of a ritual, a little bit of a visualization, at least in the morning. And I do think it's good to have a morning practice for sure, because it gets your day off really well. It's a little easier for most of us to do things in the morning, unless, I guess, you have a sort of night schedule where you're working or something. So I would say that I'll go into a little bit more of what I do, but first I'm going to talk a little bit about what she looks like, the Golden Tara, and then a little bit about her mantra. So she's golden or sort of yellow, and there's some really beautiful descriptions of her that I really liked. One has to do with seeing her as the color of the sunrise in the morning. That's the color of her body. And then another one was this refinement of gold, this sort of really beautiful gold color. And so that's sort of to give you an idea that it's kind of this luminous golden color in her body. And then she is holding a blue lotus in her left hand. And most of the 21 Taras have the same seated position, and their arms and fingers are the same. So you can pretty much go online and look for that, and you can see that as a visual. And then there, she has a wish fulfilling gem in the center of the lotus, which is going to be pouring light. And that light is going to give you all of your wishes that you want. So it's now not everybody can visualize well, including myself. I've gotten a little bit better. So just having a feeling, and also I think if you can't see things literally, you can see it in your mind's eyes, like when you're reading a book and you start to see, you know, the description of the river and the lake and the person's clothes. You're actually visualizing, and you just sort of, you know, see it in a different way. Though some people can literally see things very clearly because they've meditated a lot. But don't worry if you can't. I don't think it's a huge thing. I think it's good to have an image of her, at least initially, so you get a, you know, something to focus your mind on. But again, mantras are the most important part of mantra practice, and saying them and doing them on a regular basis is also very important. And so then I have these two books that one I used to use the most. I have this one book by the fellows that I just read the quote from, and it is called, here we go, Tara's Enlightened Activity. And it has pretty much everything you would need to know about the different 21 Taras. It has a little verse, like a little prayer to the Tara. It also breaks up sort of these three different meanings of the Tara, where you kind of go deeper and deeper into the Tara, from sort of the general description to a more profound description. And one of the things you'll notice if you start working with mantras is it's like working with a tarot. It'll take you deeper when you want to go deeper. So you'll find yourself wanting to know a little bit more, or having experiences that you want to understand. But remember, the mantras can be quite practical. And this is my main sort of topic today, is that you can use Golden Tara to help you if you're struggling financially in any way. And it definitely worked for me. And so don't feel like you have to know all these different things at all. And I feel like the devotional element alone with Tara is enough to produce results, because she's there to help you quickly. She's there to, you know, respond to you quickly, just like a mother would. And that's how she is. So I wanted to read the little description I use of when I start my practice of Tara. And I think I got this one. Another great resource is the Tara Mandala Center. And it's they have a website, taramandala.org, which I will put in the comments after the show. And they have a section called Meet the 21 Taras. And it's wonderful. They have the image of the Tara. They have the mantra, her name, and then this description. And so they describe Tara Sonam Tochi, the golden one who increases the power of merit. She's peaceful and golden yellow in color. Her body radiates light, the color of the rising sun, empowering practitioners to enact oceans of bodhisattva activities. She bestows wealth and longevity and liberates beings through the six paramitas. And that's the other aspect of this particular Tara. You'll see in the 21 Tara practices that there will be like a specific Tara associated with a specific teaching of the Buddha, which is, it's a good thing if you like Buddhist philosophy. So Buddhism can be seen more as a way of life, and there's some philosophical things that I really like about Buddhism without necessarily leaning into the religious element. And so the six paramitas are really wonderful topics. They are generosity, discipline, patience, diligence, meditative stability, and transcendent wisdom. And so if you want to sort of add to your mantra practice with her, you would, you know, think about any of these. You could take one, generosity, and think about it and meditate it on it during the day. You could do acts of generosity, even little simple things. Maybe you just say hello to somebody, or you open the door for someone, or it could be certainly bigger, grander gestures. And it's a relationship when you are working with a deity. And anything you do, I feel, however small, however humble, is just another way of connecting to it and showing that you're intent with it. So, I mean, mantras in the long run can certainly make you a better person just by doing it, because it's just the nature of the mantra. But it's a natural thing. And that's what I like about doing a simple daily practice with, you know, not a lot of time. I've emphasized this before that my teacher, Kenpo Karta Rinpoche, said it's better to do meditation or something 10 minutes a day than 2 hours every other day. So you have this sort of snowball effect overall. So just, you know, think about it that way. But again, you don't have to get so deeply involved. And so just to give you an example of how I work with the daily mantra practice, I do it in the morning, mid-morning. I actually will sometimes add a candle in if I feel really strongly about it. So I'll add some candle magic that might complement it or also be part of the ritual. I sometimes will burn a specific incense. There's incense I know associated with Tara that you can get, but sometimes I'll burn something else, like in this case, maybe prosperity. I also decided to work with energy incense because the idea of sort of energizing things and bringing energy into my life will help me to work longer. So there's different aspects to prosperity when you think about it. And that's why you can approach it in different ways. So you can find that, you know, if you're in ill health, you might want to do something more connected to the white Taras. So, and then I have become a little more ritualistic, and I like to try to visualize the Tara. It can be really fun, particularly when you get into trying to visualize seed syllables and the mantras around the deity and light streaming forth and going across the world. It's kind of psychedelic, you know, and I don't even think my visualization works that well, but I enjoy doing it. And it gets your mind onto something, I think, not only positive, but it sort of reaches into that fantastical world where magic happens. And that's a good reminder, too. So I think anything that kind of opens your mind up to something greater than what you're normally thinking about. And that's why it's kind of fun to try to do some of these visualizations, too, along with it. And then, you know, there if you want to get into more of a sort of more Buddhist stance around using the mantra, it's always a good idea to generate what's called bodhicitta. And then to dedicate whatever merit that you're doing after the mala practice, you dedicate it to everyone so that everybody can be enlightened too. And so I tend to do that. And even that's not very long. You can get some really short verses if you want to be doing that. But remember, you know, the main thing is to do the mantra. One of the things I did come across with the mantra is there are, you know, the image of the golden Tara seems to be pretty consistent. The name can be a little different, and the mantra can be a little different depending on the lineage. So, for instance, the first time I did the mantra, I found a YouTube video, which sometimes I like to go and listen to the mantra on YouTube. You'll find that the 21 Taras, some of them are not, they're really hard to find. They're hard to find pictures of, they're hard to find mantras of, but I did find one of the Golden Tara, and I will also include that link in the comment after the show. And the one I used, the mantra I used was Om Tara, Tu Tara, Ture, Pushtam Kuru Soha. So that was the full mantra. And the one I've decided to use now because I was drawn to this new book I bought about the 21 Taras, and I will talk about it towards the end, but it's written by a woman, Shubha Melissa Abbott. And she has the mantra. She adds like three more words after Turo and before Pushtam. So it's Om Tara, Tu Tara, Turi, Sarva, Arya, Punya, Pushtam, Kuru, Soa. And she also, like a lot of the other pages I've seen on mantras, they will often break down the meaning of the mantras, which you will find can vary a little bit. Some of the, especially like Om has like, sometimes it's hard to even figure out what Om is because it's a big, important syllable. And so what I feel is, you know, I felt the first one worked. And I feel that if your intention is good, even if your mantra is off a little bit or you don't pronounce it correctly, because sometimes I can't find a pronunciation of it, though I suppose I could ask one of my Tibetan Buddhist friends that know Tibetan or Sanskrit how to pronounce. But don't worry. Just do the best that you can, because, again, I think it's not it is really great when you pronounce these sacred words correctly, but I don't think it's sort of held against you. And I also feel as you do the mantra practice, you know, things come to you, like, you know, more teachings. You'll find, for instance, this time around, I actually found an image on Etsy of the Golden Tara. And I looked there before, and somebody has done a print now. So if I wanted to buy one to kind of look at, there's actually one of her colored, because the ones that you can find on the website, the Tara Mandala, they're all golden statues. So they're not colored like red or yellow or things like that. But they're still very, very gorgeous. So don't worry about that. And I find also some of the Tara mantras are much longer and a little harder to say. So you'll notice you might stumble a little bit when you're doing the practice, and don't worry about it. Another thing I forgot to mention, which I did mention in my first video on daily Tara mantras, is that before you start, you make a little note. You put on the note what it is, or a little note card. You put on a piece of paper and put on your shrine what it is you're trying to accomplish. You write it down, or if you're going to try and accomplish it for other people, and you put it there on your shrine. And you can, I think it's good to look at it or to think about it right before you do each of your practice, because you're just making sure you're staying very focused. But that's one of the things you do, is make sure that you write it down and that you have it there somewhere safe on your altar overall. And that does seem to be a very good practice. I was going to go through maybe a little bit of the meaning of this particular mantra, and because I thought it's pretty cool, actually. And this one, I'll give you sort of the overall general meaning that I got from the book I was telling you about, the new book I bought this year called Tara Illuminated, The Mandala of the 21 Taras by Shubha Melissa Abbott. And she has all of the 21 Taras, and she breaks them down all very similarly. She has the mantra, the visualization. She has a particular chant for the goddess. She has some of her own experiences, which I find really interesting. It's one of her big things in life to share the 21 Taras with people. And I really like it. I like how it's laid out, too. So each of the different 21 Taras, they all contain Om Tara, Tu Tara, Turi, Soa. And then there's added words, because no matter what, the green Tara mantra is the queen of all the Taras in the sense. And so all of these 21 Taras come out of her. They're all basically versions of her, aspects of her, you can almost say personalities of her, you know, which makes her a very rich deity. So I'm going to go through what she says in her book about the whole mantra. She says, Om is the sound of enlightened consciousness. Tare means saviorous, star, liberator. Tu Tare is the supreme joy from having glimpsed the enlightened state. Ture is swift, remover of fear, which she's, of course, renowned for. Sarva, it has something to do with calming or the emotions and reactions that keep you from, I think there's something missing in the book. There's a word missing. Arya, giving life and longevity. Punya is merit. Pushtam is increasing life energies. And Kuru is command, urging Tara, do it now. And Soha is let it be. I just realized I was supposed to give you the general description and then I gave you the specific. So here's the general description that she has of the Golden Tara mantra sequence. She says, you're asking her to calm your emotions, give you life energy and longevity, increasing your merit and good karma. And you aren't just saying, please, will you do this for me? You are saying almost as a strong command, do it now, Tara. I am ready and willing for the increases and changes. So I like that. Do it now, Tara. I don't know. It doesn't seem like you want to boss Tara around, but I don't think she minds. I think she's. You'll notice like that there are some mantras that have a little more of that oomph in them, or that sort of request. And you don't have to be kind of a whiny, pleading kind of person. You're like, hey, you know, because Tara is really a part of you. You know, Tara is an extension of you. And it's both an internal and external experience, if you ask me. So I think that it can exist as something externally. We've talked about this before on the show. It's sort of like egregores and thought forms that are just as legitimate. And they're also, it's something about you and your own internal processes. Tara represents that. So that's a little bit about her mantra. I think that, what else did I want to mention? You know, the other thing that I did mention in the first show was to make sure you keep a journal or diary of all this. And I keep all of my mantra practice in the very back of the journal so I can find it really quickly. So that's my general sort of talk on the Golden Tara. I wanted to give a little bit more time for a couple more announcements since it's our first show. And I wanted to mention that I have a special running right now. It's called the Horoscope Tarot Spread Special. And it's a layout of 12 cards that is based on the astrological chart system with each house represented in the 12 cards. And so I go over it for the year for you. And it's really a lot of fun. I believe this is my fourth year doing it. If you book it by the 11th of January, you get a discount. And then if not, I run it through the end of January, so I don't do it any other time. You can book it online at mysticraven.net. It's very easy to book. I also did want to announce that Michael is starting to organize another wonderful 7-week Kabbalistic tarot course, which he's doing by Zoom. He's going to start sometime the end of January. So he'll get the date more firm once he knows people's schedules. So it's still, you can still sign up for it. It's $300. It's each class is up to 2 hours and you get to video and tape it if you're not there. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful class. He's been doing it for years and he likes to keep it, you know, intimate. So there's not going to be 50 people in it. But definitely, if you're interested, you can contact us through our website. There's going to be more information as it gets closer to the day. I make sure I'll post it also on Facebook and on Instagram. And then the last thing I wanted to remind people of, since we are talking about Buddhism and Tara, is I wrote my second poetry book has quite a few poems about Tara. It's called Fire Burning on the River. And it's Doas of Devotion and Ecstasy. It was written, a lot of the poems were written during the time where I was really doing a lot of practices. And so it's a combination of sort of love poems during that time and my own sort of understanding of what was going on with me, with my Buddhist practices. And so you can get that if you're in Venice. You can get it at Small World Books or at Mystic Journey Bookstore, but it's definitely available online at Amazon. And in, as I said, I will post the information about the different books and the website that I talked about during the show. And I hope this helps you if you're needing some support around prosperity. Until next time, join us when we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Have a wonderful week.